Welcome to the Breathing God podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Rodriguez.
I am so excited today to bring to you someone who I have a great honor of knowing, my friend Annette Biggers. And she is so filled with the presence of God and the anointing of God. And I know you guys are good. You're going to be so crazy blessed listening to her share her heart. So Annette, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Gretchen.
It's amazing. So, okay. I know not everybody knows who you are yet. Once they get to hear you, they're going to want to know more about you. So tell us a little bit about you before we get started and all the good juicy stuff.
Well, when I first became a Christian, God put me on a different path. I thought I was going to be an architect, went to school to be an architect. And we moved out here to California from Indiana, and he put me in a photo studio. I had never picked up a camera in my life. And so I really needed to rely on him for skill and talent because I had none. The owner of the studio invited me to be a part of it as an assistant. There were other photographers there. They all had degrees from Brooks Institute and they were awesome photographers. And he said, Annette, if I can teach you how to see light, I can teach you how to be an amazing photographer. And I said, wow, I thought I already did see light, you know? And, you know, long story short, I was a photographer for 25, almost 30 years of my life. And the Lord taught me to see light in people. And what I would do before every photo shoot, I would say, Lord, put your love inside of me for this person. And what would happen during the photo session is they would radiate and they would have a sparkle in their eye and they would love their picture so much. And what happened is it opened doors for me in the celebrity world. And I started photographing Tiger Woods and all kinds of people in the celebrity world, which I really had no desire to. I wasn't like a celebrity chaser or anything, and I didn't even know most of them. And so the Lord just, I felt like he decided that I could be trusted with their heart because I was always saying, how much do you love them? You know, and I was always looking for the light within them, no matter how dark, how much darkness they were under. I would always go into my photo sessions looking for the light of Christ and then pulling it out so they themselves could see who they actually were, who they were created and designed to be. And that was the first 25 years of my career. And then the Lord brought me into the movie industry and then moved me up to Redding, California, where the Lord wanted to teach me a few things about love and community and who he actually is. And the one verse that just wrecks me every time is that when we see Jesus for who he truly is, we will become just like him. And so every time we see more of who Jesus really is, like the one who has no anger towards us, no disappointment. We see him being the one who has completely cleansed us. We become people that release forgiveness and cleansing and love. And so that just changed my whole life. That's in a nutshell who I am.
Yeah, that is so amazing. And, you know, I know from personal experience of spending time with you that I still see that reflecting from you, that you look for that light in people. I see that. I mean, in our conversations, you'll say something like, oh, I see this and this, and oh, you're radiating this. You still do that. You're such an encourager. And I love that. But, you know, I loved what you said about how when the more we look at him, the more we become like him. I was like, becoming Christ-like really takes no effort on our part in the sense of works or in the sense of, you know, striving to be holy, striving to be right, to do right, to look right, to appear right. It's really this face-to-face, heart-to-heart relationship with him that all we're doing is beholding him and getting to know his heart. And he does the work and it just He's so beautiful and holy and powerful that it changes us. That is amazing.
Absolutely.
That is amazing. So tell us, what is on your heart today? I already know, but let's tell them.
Well, the Lord has been speaking so much to me about realms of power and living from realms of power. And it has so much to do with how we see Jesus as well. There are realms of weakness too, that we can operate from even as Christians. And I believe that this, what it is there is a realm of power on the earth. It's darkness. And there's a realm of glory, the kingdom of heaven, that we can choose to operate from. And a lot of people will ask me, I work in the healing rooms at Bethel Church, and they'll ask me, I believe everything that you're saying, that I'm healed by his stripes, I was healed. But why haven't I seen it in my body? And I believe that Romans 12:2 is the ticket to all of those answers, those kinds of answers. And that is, Paul tells us, do not be conformed to the world. Conformed means to obey its rules. So there's a governing system here on earth that has rules. And if you subject yourself to those rules and those ways of thinking, you will conform under its power. And then the verse goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed in the Greek is the same word for the word transfiguration that we saw on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And this means that there is a physical manifestation happening. There's a transfiguration. Literally, your body and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions responds to the filling of your brain of true information, 100% truth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to get rid of our old ideas, our old perceptions, our old information, and replace it with the new after we're reborn again, after we have a reborn again spirit. And so then the verse says there's a reason that God wants this to happen in your life. It's to prove his perfect, pleasing, and good will. You're supposed to prove that he's good. He's always good. He's always pleasing. He's always perfect. And so if you're having weakness in your body, we have some more renewing to do, you know, and we can, and the Lord is never condemning anyone. He's not saying, come on, get that weakness out of you. No, he's saying, let the weak say they are strong. Retrain your brain with a different way of thinking, is basically what God is saying. And the Bible also says in Matthew that when the eye is good, the whole body is filled with light. So when your eye is good, when you see things the way he sees them, when you see yourself the way he sees you, when you see him for who he truly is, your whole body receives light. Like physical earth things receive light from heaven. And so those are the things that I love to teach on, the alignment of spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. And if your body and your soul is subject to your spirit, which is already perfect, already one in Christ, already hidden in Christ, already seated on the throne with Jesus, if your brain, your mind, will, and emotions, and your body is subject to your spirit, you will see the manifestation and the results of the kingdom of heaven.
And it isn't like a striving. It isn't like a, okay, I'm going to get my spirit strong and I'm going to work really hard to get my spirit strong, in the sense of,
right,
it becomes a work. It's more of a resting into the truth. Resting.
Yeah, it's like letting God have his way. You know, it's not us becoming something we already are.
Right.
It's allowing who we already are to be revealed. Yeah.
That's exactly it. To prove his goodness, not because he's punishing us. You know, God doesn't put sickness on us.
Right.
He doesn't punish us with that. It isn't his will that we suffer. It's his will that we live from our spirit You know, isn't it amazing just the power of thought?
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly amazing how much what we think about affects our physical body, affects our soul. You know, it's, we can choose to live out of our soul and be emotion led, or we can choose to live out of our spirit. But that doesn't mean you ignore any other part of you,
right?
You said we're spirit, soul, and body. You know, a lot of people that I'm hearing nowadays, they're saying, well, we have been so trained in a religious way to be so spirit led that we're forgetting that we have emotion. We're forgetting we have to take care of our soul. And I tell them, that's not what we're saying. We're not saying ignore emotions. We're saying don't let them have rule over you. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that our brain was designed for 100% truth. And we got the wrong tree. We ate from the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. And whenever you mix evil with good, it is no longer good. And so we're getting what we're getting. Our brains were designed to contain only truth. They weren't designed to contain lies.
And gosh, that is so good. I just want to stop on a minute. I just want to stop on that for a minute, because that is so powerful, that our God, who is so perfect and so holy, that's why when you're afraid, it feels so bad.
Yeah,
because we weren't designed. He didn't create us to live in a state of fear, of fight and flight. You know, he created us to live in a place of perfect peace, despite what's going on around us. So that's so powerful. Right.
So what happens is, you know, because we're human and we've been trained and conformed to the world system, what happens is we fill our brains with all the information right out here, right where we are. And we make our decisions, we make our perceptions or our opinions based on what's happening, what we see with our physical eyes. And we start filling our brain with half truths, with information, partial truths, you know, whatever. And our brains weren't designed for it. And what happens is you then release stress chemicals to your body. Your body was never designed to get messages of stress like that. You know, scientists are saying right now that every cell in your body has a message written on it. And they figured out how they can change the messages on the cells. And they also said that if a cell lives in a perfect environment, it will live forever. And the thing is God designed us to live forever. That is our original design, to live forever, never to see death. And so what scientists are saying, we know how to change the messages on cells, but we just don't know how to do it for all the cells in the body. You know, like we can do it in like, you know, an area of the body, or, you know, when we take some cells out, and we know how to do that, but we just don't know how to get the message to every cell. And so the thing is if we started getting our messages and our information from the throne room of God, 100% perfect theology and thoughts, if we start filling our brain with perfect thoughts, perfect information, which our brains was designed for, we will begin to release chemicals to our bodies that are joy, righteousness, love, peace. They'll be the right kind of chemicals and provide the right kind of environment, a perfect environment for our cells to flourish. And the right messages will be written on our cells. Like, think of this. If you're in bed and you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those days, you're giving your cells a message, slow down, stop, there's trouble. But if you get out of bed going, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Oh my gosh, it's going to be the best day ever. You give this message to your cells. Okay, it's time to get up, get awake, come on. Mitochondria starts spinning and starts giving energy to your cells, and there's joy, and there's a future, like you're ready to go and embrace, and you're giving your cells a message of hope and life and energy. And this is what we were supposed to feed on. And instead we go feed ourselves physical food isn't bad, but we were meant to be fed first by the presence of God, the presence of hope, the presence of peace. And then we probably wouldn't overeat so much if we just realized to first feed ourselves with the thoughts in the throne room of God. We would be living in a better place in our bodies anyway.
You know, and I Acts 17:28, one of the scriptures I say all the time on this podcast, in me, you live and move and have your being. This is Jesus talking, you know, in him. Now we are in him.
Yeah.
We already are. But if we're not aware of that,
right?
If we're living, you know, this is we are living so much of a roller coaster life, where one moment we're filled with faith and one moment we're crashing and doubting and in fear. And yes, we have this normal life, we'll call it, normal things that oppose us. And we have an initial reaction sometimes that may not be divine. We'll say that, you know, a fleshly reaction. But once you have that initial reaction, like, oh, that happened, or, oh no, okay, hold on. I'm in him. He's in me. Mm-hmm. I am perfectly loved. I am safe. God's going to take care of us. Like, when we get to choose what we think about. So just because somebody has an initial reaction doesn't mean you have to stay there in that place. You can say, okay, hold on. What is truth in this situation? These may be the facts. What is truth?
Yeah.
What is my truth in this moment? Holy Spirit, what is your truth in this moment? Will you speak to me? Will you show me how you're seeing this situation? And when we can, when we do that, when we continually turn our attention back to the Lord, back to his presence, we start becoming more constant and consistent in the way we're living our lives, in our levels of peace, in our levels of joy, despite everything else that's happening around us. We live in divine consciousness more than we're aware of what these little things are or huge things are happening around us or to us in the natural.
Yeah. You know, I believe this is how Paul lived. You know, this is how he could rejoice in jail, is he realized that our emotions are not supposed to be reactors to what's happening around us, but our emotions were designed to respond to the throne room experience. So this is how he could be, he was seeing himself in the spirit in the throne room, where he was getting revelations from the Lord to write the epistles. And he was responding to what he was seeing in the spirit. And so he could rejoice in jail. And you think of it, like, this was so powerful that this is how we got out of jail every time. And it was only Paul that decided, okay, I'm ready to go and be with Jesus now. I've finished my race. It was only because of that, that he literally gave his life. His life was not taken from him, nor was Jesus's. None of the disciples, their lives were not taken from them, because think of it, Paul was stoned to death and he was resurrected, right? Mm-hmm. And he was, I mean, all kinds of things happened to him, but nothing really happened to him, you know? He was living from a throne room experience, and his emotions were constantly responding to what's going on in the spirit rather than reacting to what's going on here. And, you know, there's so many times I could tell you, we don't have time for it today, where I witnessed miracles just by shifting my thinking. You know, when my son got into a motorcycle accident going 50 miles per hour, stopped suddenly, you know, and everyone thought he was dead on the pavement. And the nurse called me from the ER, and I was ready to react. And God says, no, don't do that. And because he wanted me to operate from a realm of power, not a realm of weakness. And so I said, oh, God, I know your angels are there right now before I can even be there. And they are fixing bones and they're fixing everything right now. And I just started rejoicing that the Lord would get there before I would. And you know what? He had all kinds of broken bones and never needed a cast. He was healed. His every bone was healed. And he left the hospital 3 days later. It's such a miracle. Wow. So many miracles like that. It's like when you decide to stay in the heaven realm and not, you know, it doesn't mean you won't mourn with those who are mourning, but you will bring people out of their mourning and into rejoicing, you know, as a result of where you stay in your soul. And I mean, this is what happens is you're opening realms of power for God to flow through and do miracles when you stay there with Jesus, when you stay in hope and you stay in faith. And the thing is we're not striving for more faith. We're just recognizing we have the faith of God. He gave it to us. By grace, he gave us his faith. We're operating. This is why it only takes a mustard seed, because it's not our faith anyway. It's the faith of God.
I love that. I love that. And that's something that I have to remember often. It's not our faith. It is his faith operating through us, that we are living in union with him. It's not us anymore. It isn't us. We're not even, you know, people say, well, I'm just human. Well, we're only human. Well, guess what? We're actually not right. human. We are new creations in Christ. We are an entirely new breed of person. Right.
And that's why the Bible says to not regard anyone, you know, through what's the actual word? Do not regard anyone according to their flesh, you know, don't regard anyone according to probably like their weakness,
right?
You know, remind them of who they are in the spirit, because they could be feasting on some half truths and filling their soul with things that aren't true. Mm-hmm. And they're out of alignment. And anyways, such a good conversation here.
Such a good conversation. And, you know, it comes back to one of the things that you said, it comes back to, if we don't know who we are in him, if we're not living that life in communion with him, beholding him, turning our attention to him consistently, if we're not living in that place, how are we going to pour forth what he wants us to pour forth? If we're so distracted, and this isn't to shame anyone, you know, I know for many, many years, I was very distracted. I was very anxious. I was very fearful. I was really ruled by a controlling, fearful spirit, and how I couldn't operate in the level of authority that the Lord wanted me to walk in,
right?
Because
right.
I was dominated by fear.
Dominated now, by the system of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we don't realize it. And this is why, you know, in Isaiah 60, it says, behold, the darkness or the world is under great darkness. It doesn't say ignore it. It says, behold, you're supposed to see it, but I have arisen on you, you know? And this is why I think that God, Jesus said, over and over to his disciples, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's accessible. It's so easy to get to. He also said, when you go heal people, tell them the kingdom of heaven has come upon them. Basically a new governing system, a new way of thinking, a new way of living has come upon you. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So the kingdom of heaven came upon them, the kingdom of heaven was within them, and the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And so we can access it. It's so easy. We don't have to strive to access it. All the only thing that we have to do, our part, is to trust that it's true. Trust that his word will not return to him void. And I'm part of that returning his word, not void. I am part of the plan where his word is accomplished on the earth. And so we're just literally like saying, okay, I trust you and I'm going to let you love me until I love myself as much as you love me. You know, when you love yourself as much as Jesus loves you, you're actually loving Jesus when you love yourself, because you and him are intertwined. You're one. You see Jesus in you and you see yourself in Jesus. And to love yourself is to love Jesus, you know?
That's so good.
And Jesus is not jealous. He's like, yes, that's my girl. That's my daughter. Yay. You know, she's finally got this. She's finally got love, you know, manifesting in her thoughts. And then what happens is when you're loving like that, you're returning his word to him, accomplishing what it was supposed to accomplish, which is fullness, abundant life, healing, the kingdom of heaven manifested on the earth. And I tell you, your dogs, your cats, your plants in your house, they feel the resonance of Jesus living in you when you begin to cultivate that reality.
That's so good. And you know, I remember for so many years going through some difficult times, and the Lord would tell my husband and I both, just trust me, just trust me. And I remember thinking, and maybe some of the listeners right now are thinking this too, I'm trying to trust you. How do I trust you? I'm struggling in trusting you. And over the years, I've learned the simplicity of that is by getting to know the one who loves you. You can't trust somebody if you don't really, truly believe they love you so much.
Right.
And that's what the Lord has for every single person who's listening. He wants them to come to another level in the relationship with him where love dominates everything else so that they can trust. Yeah. And so would you close us out in prayer? But before we do that, I want to just say really quick before I forget, if you guys want to know a little bit more about Annette, you can go to her website, AnnetteBiggers.com or DoveCreekFilms.com, because I'm sure they're going to want to hear more about you. Yeah, look her up. You're gonna be blessed even more. But would you close us in prayer and
I would love to. I just want all of you to just go into a place of quieting your thoughts and your soul. And just imagine yourself right now going to the throne of grace boldly. And you can go there boldly because it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of disappointment or anger or punishment. You're approaching a throne of grace. Imagine that. And that's why you can go boldly. And then I want you to imagine yourself sitting in front of the throne, bowing down, looking up at Jesus. And he's looking right into your eyes. And you're going to start here asking him for things. Almost you see yourself begging him. And he looks right at you and he goes, come up here. And he invites you to sit on the throne with him. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. I never saw myself here. And you just go and you sit right next to him. And he looks into your eyes and he says, you've been sitting here since the foundation of the world. You've been sitting next to me. I've invited you to sit with me on this throne of grace. And you just are so amazed. You never saw yourself there before. But you know, like sitting there with him, that you can ask him anything and he'll tell you everything. And you know, you're just receiving the power of love right now, sitting right next to him. And then he looks over at you and he winks at you and he goes, what do you want to do today? And he loves your input. He loves your ideas. And he'll go with you. And he wants you to know right now, friends, that every single warfare that you might be fighting is an invitation to experience a victory. And so when you see yourself standing up with Jesus, coming back to the earth realm, you face every trial, every storm knowing that he is delighted to be with you and in you. He's delighted to give you authority and the keys of the kingdom to unlock the kingdom realm, the realm of power, into the realm of the earth darkness. And he's delighted to give you a shadow like Peter's that heals, even to penetrate your clothes, that your clothes can heal people when they touch you. He's delighted to be that for you. Yeah. So Father, I just ask you to make that real to every person listening right now. It's true, you said it. You said we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have already received every blessing in the spiritual realm that exists. We have everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, we trust your word. And we walk in the power that you've already given us, Lord. We say thank you. Our only response is thank you. Thank you, Papa. Amen.
Amen. So beautiful. There is nothing like his presence. There is nothing like his presence. There's nothing like being wrapped in love and feeling that confidence literally, you know, permeate every cell, like you were talking about, every thought, and totally changing us from the inside out. His presence and his love changes everything. So thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys are blessed, and I hope you will enjoy this and share this with others. Thanks for being with us, friends.
Thank you for joining me on the Breathing God podcast. If this show has ministered to you, please consider leaving a review right here. And if you think the podcast will bless someone else, please share it. You can find help for anxiety, sign up for my newsletter, and find lots of other goodies on my website, GretchenRodriguez.com.